You're in a good place now. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, on the show, we'd like to talk about perspective. You know, changing our perspective, updating our perspective on the way that we see the world. You know, and many of us have dealt with shortcomings. We've had what we consider failures in our life. Some of us see those failures with a lot of regret. Others of us have been able to change the way we think somewhat to empower us more than to take away from us. And when I find someone that I feel can really resonate on a topic of very clear importance, I like to bring them on the show. And so joining me today on Live Your True Life Perspectives is two-time international best-selling author, speaker, and the founder of the Savvy Sisterhood, Elena Chapman. Elena, so great to have you on the air today. How are you doing?
Oh, I am doing fabulous, Ashley. Thank you for having me. I'm very excited.
Well, I am looking forward to talking with you because I know that you came out with a really amazing book titled The Prison Effect, Discover How You're Blocking Your Own Happiness and Break Free to Abundance and a Joy in Your Life. Tell me more about what was the catalyst to writing this book.
Well, you know, I studied self-development since I was 18 with Wayne Dyer. But I'll tell you, even then, sometimes we can be hit with something that we don't expect. And it was started in 2009, actually. And I'll tell you what, I was going through a divorce. And it was a hard divorce. And everyone says that. But alongside of that, and I can't say it was tied into the divorce, but it did go on at the same time. My family, my three boys and myself, we were severely, I wouldn't even call it bullied. I would call it thrown into the twilight zone, an alter reality. And, you know, it was very, very, very hard. But there was one thing. It taught me this incredible lesson about perspective and how often we are pulled by our circumstances into an alternate reality that's not even true. And I learned through my own experience, it was long, it was 5.5, 6 years long of this alternate reality always being present in my life. And what I had to learn how to do to save my family, I learned how to change my perspective. Still have to deal with the crises every lot, actually, in that alternate reality, but I didn't have to live there. And instead, I lived on building my family, building a true family of strength, helping my kids get through a very hard divorce, and helping that divorce end in the very best way it can. So that's what was really the start of me writing the book, because if I could have some of the harshest extreme circumstances and still be able to live in a world that I wanted to perceive, we can get through anything. And that's why I'm waking people up to that.
So let me ask you, I know that there's some folks out there that's listening to the show right now that have gone through a tumultuous divorce.
Yes, I'm sure. There's a lot.
And how did you, you know, what were some of the things that you had to overcome, you know, specifically? Because I think there's a lot of people that are going through it. A lot of times when we're going through this type of pain, we feel alone. We feel like we're the only ones that's gone through it. So if you don't mind elaborating a little bit of that and how, because I think a lot of times when you're going through the court proceedings and you're making these changes and your friends that are start dividing from you and the people that you
just
thought were your
divorce.
Best friends.
Yeah, the divorce side of it. Oh my gosh. Yes, we all go through that. We go through it for so many reasons. And the person you thought you were building your whole life with, now you see a side of them that you didn't even know existed. And it's very scary. And you know, I have to say, when I was going through my divorce, and that was 6 years, I really, really did at the whole time decide from the very start that I wanted the best for all. And I know out there, they're saying, Elena, you're off your rocker. But I'll tell you something. When I made that, I did two things, actually. And for all those people going through a divorce with kids, the first one of the things, okay, I made the decision first that I wanted the best for all. And yes, that did mean for my ex and his family. But also, I put together because your kids need you. They need you. And they are not supposed to be used as a pawn. They need you because how much your life is tearing apart, theirs is tearing apart three times more. So what I did was I wrote down three or four things that I wanted my kids to look back on and say, what did I want them to think about family when they looked back? What did I want them to think about family? And those three things guided me to build our family unit. That we were strong, that we would survive, that we would be okay, that family, we always have each other's back, that we always love each other, and it's a place to always come home to. Those were the things I wrote down. And do you know what? Those still guide me now, even though everything's over. And during the divorce, no matter what my ex had done, I worked really hard at always forgiving. And it's really funny because in the end, with everything that was hitting me, I still had the relationship that my kids, it changed things. I ended up losing on child support. There were some real extenuating circumstances in our case. And it actually went to the Supreme Court of my state, wow. Not federal, but to the state, yes. And I ended up changing law on trust, actually, too. So when I went to Indiana, that's the state I'm from, there in their Supreme Court, and I'll tell you what, I learned how to let go. That was I learned that from Bob Proctor. And then I lost. I actually lost. And here I had been doing all that forgiveness, and I had been doing...
Wow.
But I'll tell you the end of that story, which will make people really think. So I was driving, getting lost in Indianapolis, because I get lost a lot when I drive. And I got a call from my ex's family. And they said, Elena, we know what you are fighting for. And I want you to know the kids will be fully taken care of. So really, the betterment of all. Nobody felt hostility. Everyone felt good about what they were truly giving. No one was made to give. They gave of a free heart. And I really do think, Ashley, it was because I had that. I had that intention. I wanted everything to be for the best for everyone. And I did the forgiveness along the way. And there were some horrific things I forgave. But because I did that, it really helped me to keep a clear mind. It helped me not fight fire with fire, but fight fire with justice and light. Do you see the difference?
That's very powerful. You know, I totally agree with you. And I think a lot of times, like what you said, many of us go down the road of fighting fire with fire, we don't realize.
He did this. She did this. Yeah. Yeah.
And we begin to see it that way. And then we begin to see that as the only way.
Yes.
And then we begin to fight like they fight, and you can't win that way. I mean, you don't want to lower yourself or take away from your self-value or, you know, take away from your mindfulness or take away from your unconditional love set mindset to battle and fight because, you know, that's not the way that I'm wired. So if I try to battle and fight, it's probably not going to work for me because it's not something that I do very often, if ever.
And I'll tell you, we all, there's ways to fight. There's different ways to fight. I wouldn't say I didn't fight. I just didn't fight fire with fire.
Right.
I didn't give up. I didn't say, I'm just going to let it be. No, I had kids I had to think about. I had to protect my kids. I had to make sure that they got provided for. I didn't give up. But I didn't fight fire with fire, and I didn't live with anger, and I didn't live with revenge. and I didn't live with regret. And so when we're leading in these mindful minds and keeping this peace, sometimes we are hit with very hard circumstances. And I know so many in the field of being mindful. They're not, you know, anybody can be mindful when it's really everything is wonderful and flowery. But pulling it together and keeping your perception where you want it to be, and still having to do what you need to do to create the future you want for your kids or for you, that's the test. And that's when you really decide in your heart, who do I want to be? Who do I want to be in this? Do I want to be revengeful? Do I want to do tit for tat? Do I want to see the worst in my enemy? And really, we always have to remember God or spirit is in everything, even in that person who may not be very nice to you. God is just as much in them as they are in you. So how do you want to be? It's your choice. How do you want to fight? It is a test of time, but it doesn't mean that you stop fighting. It just is the way you fight.
I agree with that. And, you know, it's powerful. And then there's a lot of folks out there, I think, you know, the thing is that, yeah, it's not about sitting down or sitting back and letting people roll all over you. It's about creating proper boundaries, but acting from a place of power instead of a place of reaction. And I think that's where we're at here. And I think a lot of times, because of the way we were raised, many people might have been raised in toxic environments, there's a tendency to react instead of a tendency to sit back and examine and then respond properly with the tools and the gifts that we've been given, instead of to find that that empty feeling. And I think that's where a lot of times some people will say, you know, going back toward, you know, the book concept, is that a lot of people will look at their life and some of the things that have happened, instead of saying, hey, I tried, or hey, you know, I really got to embark on this or XYZ. A lot of times people look at their lives as failures. You know, I failed in this, or this didn't happen. And so how do we do that? How do we begin to switch and to shift our perspective on failure into something that can actually provide energy and power into our life?
Yes. Oh my gosh. Well, that's the prison effect. I mean, living with the regret, living with the worry, the doubt and the fear of the future, the regret of the past and what we've done, all that and choosing. Yes. And I talk about that in the book, because so many times, even with divorce or even when a parent passes or our kids grow up, we start having this regret on decisions we've done or how they've turned out. I know. You know, I don't believe that anything in life is an accident. And I have to say, sometimes I really don't think we always create everything in our life either. I think sometimes things come into our life to teach us, believe it or not. But being said that, when we have the regret, you know, there's that old adage, you can't cry over spilt milk. It's the only adage I really like.
It's hilarious.
Because it's true. If once it's spilt, it's spilt. And so no matter what it was in your past, you know, the thing is, we have a wonderful gift. It's one of the most wonderful gifts anybody can be given. And that is, we can change any minute. We are given moments. And at any moment, we can change that past. Not that we can't go back and change it, but from this moment on, you can change it. Why sit in regret when you have the possibility every single moment to change it?
So let me ask you, you got folks out there that are listening right now, and they said, you know, recently, I went after a job position and, you know, it didn't happen, or things didn't go as I thought they would, I got let go from my position at work, and now I'm kind of wondering, and I'm feeling like my life is a failure. How do you begin to reposition yourself in a situation like that?
Oh my gosh. Okay. Yes, of course. And sometimes our biggest failures are our biggest gifts. really what it is, you know, if you are going so straight into something and it's not working out, like the job, like, you've got to have faith in what you want. First of all, start with, don't give up on that. Don't give up on that, because it's really, you know, it's through the struggles that we can grow. That's when we grow. All right. So if you look at not getting this job as, all right, I didn't get this job. Two things could be wrong. It's really not meant for me, or I have to grow. If I really want that position or I want something like it, I have to grow into that. And I'm obviously not ready yet. What do I need to do? It's taking the struggle and putting your own power into it. And what's the greatest power you have? Choice. Choice. And so when you look at these things, or I was let go from a job. Well, why was that? And you got to kind of do what I call a self-observation. I talk about this in the book. It's where you look back at it without judgment, without feelings of anger. You just kind of look at it as, this is what it is. And you learn from it. Why was I fired? Can I correct those things? Am I on the right road? Do I want to explore different things? It's your choice where you want to go. And those are struggles. Struggles are to help you to grow, either in the same direction or in a different direction, given your choice. But it's up to you how you want to grow. If it's a job that I really want and it's a career, my gosh, I remember I used to sing. Do you know how many auditions I would go to where there would be 200 other sopranos for one role? And did I always get it? No. There were many times I did not. Did I stop? No. Did I curse the girl who got it? No. Actually, what I did was I studied what was it that they liked about her. How could I be better at what I was going to be? And maybe I didn't get that one. I wasn't, you know, I'm not blonde, that's for sure. And if they want a blonde, I'm not going to be it. But what can I do to make myself more? Maybe she was more in character than me. Maybe she carried that high note better than I did. Well, then I just have to be more myself, bring myself out there, practice a little bit more, and try again, because that's the road I wanted to be on. Do you see how it's a different way of looking at it? And it's, one is an area of growth and one's an area of feeling stuck.
I think it's very similar to the concept of yes and no, and it's taken me a lot of my life to understand that, because the way we're programmed by our family, and there's no, I mean, it's just the way life is that we're programmed to believe that no is a bad thing. When somebody says no, that's a bad thing, and that what they said yes is a good thing. And, you know, throughout my lifetime,
yeah, we are.
I've realized that no is not a bad thing. But it's hard to flip the script on that one when you've been told your whole life that. But then to begin to realize the perspective of, when somebody tells you no, that just means that there's going to be another opportunity, but it just doesn't include that particular person.
Right. Or that particular situation.
Or that situation.
If you believe in yourself, and if you don't, you need to work on that. That's what I do. I help you do that. But anyway, it's also believe in yourself and believe in what you see as your vision to be. What kind of wonderful service do you want to offer to this world? If you believe in both of those strongly, then the universe, God, whatever you believe, has to come into fold. It has to. Because all our beliefs come from inside of us. Now, that's a little bit of the law of attraction. Now, the one thing that the law of attraction leaves out, though, is the law of gestation, which is a primary law. And Ashley, do you know the law of gestation is first of all, realizing, we always equate it to the seed, a seed of a tree. So inside that little seed, there is everything. In that little seed for it to become a tree. Say, let's do a maple tree. I love maple trees. I love the color. So everything is inside that little seed. And it has total belief on what it wants to be. But it's not a tree yet, is it? No. It has to become the tree. So once it drops into the ground, whatever it has inside that can recognize that this ground has the fertilization and the food it needs, so it starts to put out its roots. And then once it gets its food, it starts to grow with that food. Then it says, oh, this is so cool. I'm going to put out a stem because it's time. And it puts out its stem. It feels the warmth of the sun above that ground. And I want to capture that. So then it puts out leaves. But everything was done in steps. Everything came in the time it was supposed to. Even though everything that was needed was right inside that seed. We're the same way. We are that seed. And when we put in our mind what we want to be that an author, be that a nurse, be that the police officer, be that president of the United States, we are that seed that has everything we need. We have to believe in it and then walk the journey. You have to walk the journey. And if you believe in yourself and where you're going, then opportunities will start to come in. And if you happen to go off on a wrong opportunity, that's all right. Auto-adjust. Go back to where you were. Learn from that experience and go back. You don't have to stay in that struggle. Go back to where you want to be. And it starts to unfold. And as it unfolds, you actually become the goal. You become that vision. You become the president. You become the nurse. You become the best-selling author. Do you see how that works?
So let me,
you grow into the tree.
So let me ask you a question. I know there's a lot of folks out there that have, you know, really focused on what they want to do. They know what they want to do. They've been giving it, you know, full throttle. But what happens when people are bombarded by a lot of opportunities where there's so many different ones, it's hard to figure out which direction to go?
Well, give me a little more context. Do you mean like, okay, do we mean so hard to go in the decision of what direction to get there? Or are we talking about just opportunities that bring us totally on a whole different page? What kind of, do you mean within the field or outside of the field?
Okay, well, I'll just elaborate. I actually had a client that came in and we were going through some stuff and they have an amazing career and they work extremely hard and they work, you know,
cool.
They work about, you know, I would say 7 days a week. And we were going through some opportunities.
That's a lot.
And they want to get, you know, one of their main, you know, one of their dreams, I guess, and desires outside of what they currently do is to get into politics. Another thing that they're wanting to do is they're wanting to get into speaking and what have you. And so they're getting all these opportunities all at one time to run for local politics. And you have another opportunity that came about a speaking thing and they are already overwhelmed. And so you have like these competing thought processes as far as, I don't think that,
okay,
you know, speaking in politics is any different really. So it's all kind of in that same genre. But how do you start picking and choosing what you start with first? Because I think when some people are given a lot of opportunities, there's a tendency of not really knowing what direction to rock and roll into. And, you know, the fear of, well, I don't want to lose what I have. And so how do you manifest
fear
that into something without losing the sight of the long-term goals, but doing what you need to do right now as well?
Okay, really, what that person, we'll use this person as an example. I hope they don't mind, but basically, they have to decide what do they want.
Mm-hmm.
They have to. It really is a matter of what they want. I get offered all sorts of things, and a lot of them I take, a lot of them I don't, especially if I'm overwhelmed. But I don't work 7 days a week, first of all. Kind of think about that. Sorry about that. And then I don't know how to turn that off for you. But the thing is, if you are looking at what do I really want, and maybe do the politics really help me in that goal or do they not? Do these other opportunities, are they in line? You know, remember when I made that, those different, what I wanted my kids to remember about family?
Mm-hmm.
That's a vision. I created a vision for my family. What about creating a vision? And this is what I do. Every career I've had, I made a vision. If without a vision, and I know what you want to do, but do you really know what you want? Sure, you want to speak in large crowds, but what do you want? Because you just opened the door on a humongous, you can speak about politics, you can speak about herbal life, you can speak about self-development. You just opened the door to speaking, but what is your mission? What is your vision? Now, if politics align with that, well, then maybe you can dip in, but that's taking a total right, you know, because politics are very demanding. And if you want to do that and you can fulfill your mission in it, and that really sets your heart on fire, then that's what you need to do. But if it feels like, and this person knows it, if they really sit down, they'll feel it inside. You got to listen to yourself. Does that align with what I want to do? Is that really where I want to go? Or is that going to be just something that's going to add weight and not do any purpose to my vision?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have I find that a lot of people are in that spot.
Through. They are. Well, because there are so many opportunities. I have that too. I really had to think, even within the field of this whole self-development, you know, and I was thinking, okay, I'm helping entrepreneurs. Well, yes and no. I'm more personal. I'm a spiritual thought leader. So what do I help you do is I was trying to help entrepreneurs, but the universe actually brought me back to what I was supposed to be. Because this is funny. Every time I would go to speak to entrepreneurs about starting their business, helping them start out, and even that had a spiritual connotation, sort of, but I didn't think very much. I'd get off those stages and people would say, I want to talk to you about spirituality. I finally just had to ask. I said, why do you think I do anything on spirituality? And they said, oh, it's all over your presentation. So who you truly are, the mission of your soul, the mission of that powerful energy inside you, it's always going to shine through. So, I mean, it's better that you learn what that is and follow that, because it's going to happen anyway. And that's where your true heart is on fire. Mm. It is the seed with everything inside. So look at your life. What is it that you really want? I know Bob Proctor says that all the time, and that's where I learned that. And it's true. What do you really want? Not what do you think is going to make the most money, not what your parents say, not what you think is the right thing, what is socially acceptable. All that doesn't matter. There is no boundary anymore. People who were supposed to be trained as lawyers, there's a lawyer on every freaking corner.
Mm-hmm.
There are lawyers starving. Doctors are now being owned by hospitals. They can't make the money they used to make. So those two, unless you really love it, why would you go in there? There are entrepreneurs now making millions and billions just by staying home and working on the computer 4 hours, 5 hours a day.
Hmm.
What do you want? Anything at this time, more than any time in history, you can make it happen.
How do you feel like you create proper clarity? So, you know, you hear about, you know, as a therapist, you know, when I work with clients, you know, I really advise clients to really journal and to write out their thoughts, you know, but when it comes to, you know, getting to your dreams and your goals and your desires and your passions, is there other activities? I mean, we've heard about vision boarding and that kind of stuff, but besides journaling and that, is there anything else that you can think of that can help people really flesh out exactly what they want and then really design a path to that?
You're gonna die when you hear me. I tell people this all the time, and it always works. You got to have fun. You got to start having fun. So yeah, because this can get so freaking heavy. What do I want to be? And you just, oh gosh, you can drive yourself insane. And you gotta keep everyone out there. You guys, we came down on this beautiful planet, and it is beautiful, even though there's lots of stuff. It's always in contrast. And that's for us too, believe it or not. We are here to experience. We are here to experience what we love, what we don't love, to learn and evolve. That's all we're here for. So take the pressure off of you and start to experience. Start to have fun. Start to, go for a hike in the woods. Feel the energy of the trees and watch the birds and feel connected to all this beautiful world that we're at. I'm serious. You've got to have fun. Go out and have an ice cream cone, even if it's not on your diet. Go see a favorite movie. Go have lunch with friends. Do what's fun. And then I want you, once you start having fun, then I want you to wake up every morning and ask yourself, what do I feel like today? What kind of fun do I want to have today? And you do that for just a little while. It won't take long if you're already having fun. You know, it might be, oh, I want to try tea today. Or it might be, all of a sudden, it'll start to appear, I want to journal. Something meaningful will start coming out. That's how I started writing my book. That's how I started forming choirs. Everything I did was because I got up in the morning, because I always have fun. I got up in the morning and my mind just said, was very attuned to doing what I love. I attuned my heart to what I love to do. So it was very natural for my passion to start to rise to the top. And I just said, I want to journal. That book became an international bestseller. So what is it that you want to do? What is fun? What today is something fun you want to do? And before you know it, your talents will start to surge.
That's amazing. So how did you... Yeah. You know, in your life, really refocus your energy, because I think a lot of us, you know, we see other people's successes. Our world is really, we're in a lot of comparison often. And, you know, whether it's social media, you know, whether it's watching the news, whether you look up to somebody and let's say like you look up to Oprah Winfrey and you say, well, Oprah's always got all this stuff. Where am I at? And I think the comparison is very interesting. So how, because I know in order to get where you are, and I'm working on this consistently as well, how do you consistently, mindfully check yourself to stop comparing yourself to other people?
We are all on our own journey. I'm not on Oprah's. Oprah's not on mine. And if you really look at anyone who has made it, they were not overnight. They went through some very hard struggles to get where they're getting. And those struggles had them grow. They had their own journey of gestation to become who they're becoming. And to compare yourself is so silly, because you are not going to be an Oprah. And Oprah is not going to be you. You're not going to be me. I'm not going to be you. You are on your own journey. And what can you do today to make your journey more meaningful? To get your message out more, to become more of the vision you see yourself becoming. That's the only thing that's important. And as far as getting bogged down with everything that's happening in the world, and I know it is a challenge. There's so much. And there is a time that you have to step out and say no, but you also have to know that the things that you don't like are contrasts. And you can ignore that contrast, or you can step out and change that contrast. But to just sit there and get upset about it is not serving you, it's not serving the world, and it's not serving your journey. And it's so turn it off if you're not going to act on it. Mm. And instead, focus on what it is that you want to become. And don't compare. There's no comparison. There's no competition. There's no comparison in the world. The only thing that's important is what you are doing on your journey and who you're becoming. And plus, when you do comparison, it clogs up your mind. You start that. What it does is it activates your ego. the critical part of your ego, the critical mind. I'm not good enough. Why aren't I where she is? Why can't I be that? Well, what's wrong with me? See all that? That's garbage. That's going to clog you. But if you look at Oprah, I'm using Oprah as an example. If you see what she's done and think, wow, I really love that segment. Maybe I could do something very similar, but a little bit different because I want to change it this way. Or maybe I should get out there and give my views on that subject. You know, use it to fuel your creativity instead of your critical mind. Don't use it as a comparison. Use it as a launch off to your creativity. Another choice.
Let me ask you a question. When it comes to failure, I know that a lot of times, you know, when you failed in the past, and I don't really think that there's failure. I think if you actually do something, right. It's not. But, you know, some people would argue with that. But I do think that if you actually try and you try to do something, it's not failure. But I think sometimes we hide behind that, what's perceived as failure. And then critically, there's a fear to do something else because of what happened last time that might have been might not have been seen as favorable. So
right,
how do people come
it.
Out
yeah.
from, you know, the hiding from and the fear from actually trying again, you know, and putting up that wall saying, well, it didn't work that one time. So, you know.
Yes. What really happens is, yeah, experiences. Experiences go into the subconscious mind as beliefs. And whether that's a good experience or a bad experience. When it goes into our mind as a bad experience, then, oh my gosh, we don't want to do that. But this is what happens with that bad experience. It takes the worst scenario and puts it into the critical mind. And it also does it in a generality. Like, oh my gosh, I'll never open another business. I failed at that one. Well, that's extremely general. And that encompasses way too much. And you haven't really learned the lesson. Why did it fail? Maybe you made some bad investments. Okay, so guess what? You don't make those bad investments anymore. Maybe you trusted someone you shouldn't have trusted. Okay, well, what I need to do is be more vigilant about who I bring into my business. Mm-hmm. Do you see? There's a difference. So allowing that bad experience to just take over your mind, you have to do a meditation. I teach that. You go into the meditation, you go back into that experience with no emotion in that objectivity kind of mind, which I actually learned from someone else. Well, sort of. I've adapted it. Mm-hmm. And then you go back into that time and you say, okay, all right, so let's just look at this. Why did that business not work? Notice I don't use the word fail because all of a sudden you put a giant block in your mind. But why didn't it work? And all of a sudden you'll start going back through the events of where the money went or whatever happened. And you'll, that's the lesson you need to learn. That's the lesson. And so then when you start a new business, don't let it alter you from the new business, but you just don't fall in the same hole. Mm-hmm. You've learned the lesson. So you go around there. There's always going to be some kind of challenge. Challenge is part of us becoming who we're supposed to be. If it were all easy, none of us would evolve. Everybody would be there. Nobody would evolve. And nobody would be truly happy. The challenges are where we grow. But to take that challenge and just make this terrible generality and put it into our memory bank that we should never go there again, that's like saying, don't go into the woods because somebody said there was something awful in there. You know what I mean? It is. It's the same kind of premise. So I want to know what is so awful. I want to know, is it really that bad? Is there a way to get around it? Why would I let that belief hold me back when it's so general?
Let me ask you.
So you got to take a look at it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. I resonate with that. So let me ask you, I know that you have a program called Break Free, and it's designed to transform people's beliefs and their failures. How can people break free from their internal prison here that we've created?
Well, what, you know, in the Break Free program, along with the Prison Effect, the book, but the Break Free program has a little bit of personal touch. So that's kind of nice. The book gives you stuff, but the Break Free, you actually get to talk to me, which is kind of nice because then you get that perspective and that the cheerleader. You get the cheerleader.
Cheerleader. I like that.
Yeah, the cheerleader. But on top of that, what it does is it walks you through. It has a lot of exercises for you to do. The Break Free is not for the faint of heart. It's not for someone who wants the easy pill. There's no easy pill, folks. I'm sorry. You can't just take the pill and suddenly be evolved and be positive and happy. You need to look at yourself. There's reasons why you're not. And it is a decision to be happy, but it's also sometimes we have to work through a couple things. We have to change some of those blocks. The Break Free teaches you what I teach you, how to first train the thoughts so you get a break from them. And there are ways that you can take a break from them. And then that allows you to start to investigate your dreams and where you can be and the opportunities. Start to tap into that soul, darn it. And then we build that up in the Break Free program with definite tools. Definite things that during the day you can change your whole perception on life. And then when we go back to those blocks that will start to come back, you know, that critical mind, you really can't write that book. We've built the idea so wonderfully that when we start to take away and use the affirmations on that, it's fainter. It's not as strong anyway. So Break Free is a very unique program in that way. It gives you the tools because we're building up that beautiful side. It shows you the beauty of life. It helps you realize your capacity, your ability. And then we actually get you to start achieving in an easier way than just trying to bully your way through your beliefs, which is hard sometimes for people. Very hard. So it offers a little bit of a different but the same result.
So where do people find out more information about you, Elena, so they can contact you and reach out and get to know more about you?
Oh, gosh. Well, if you want to learn more, this is a really cool thing. I want people to try it anyway. You go to Elena, Elena360.com. Very easy, folks. Elena, Elena360.com. And it's so cool because when you get there, you get Elena because you get everything. My YouTube channel, all my personal everything in Instagram, Facebook, all that stuff. And then up in the right-hand corner, you'll see like this little circling world. That's my website. And if you get on my website and just go to contacts and write me a message, I'm on it. I get notified right away and I always respond. Okay, so if you want to get a hold of me, just go to that little world at Elena360.com. And otherwise, enjoy the videos, join Savvy Sisterhood. We haven't even talked about that, but you'll see it. You can do all sorts of things, you know? Send me a message on Facebook if you like. Friend me. Fun stuff.
We'll have to get you back on to talk about Savvy Sisterhood in the near future. I'd love to have you back on Live Your True Life Perspectives.
Oh, thank you. I would love to be on. You're a wonderful host.
Well, thank you so much. And I look forward to having you back on here in the future. And I will be checking out your website as well and looking forward to catching a lot of that awesome content. And I really appreciate you coming on. Really powerful message you have. And I look forward to having you back on in the future.
And Ashley, you're doing a wonderful service for everyone. Thank you.
Thank you. Powerful message. You know, a lot of times we do feel like we failed. But have we really failed? I don't think so. I think we have a lot of opportunities that we can go with. I think we have a lot of things that we can do. And I think sometimes we get so fearful that we're going to make the wrong decision that we almost have an inability to move. And in that inability to move, it's like we get caught up in something. And I've found that it's so powerful when we can get out of our own way. When we can get out of our own way and do something, it's so powerful. But oftentimes we get scared. We get worried. Will we go down that same path? Is this all going to be for naught? What do I need to do next? And what I'm going to do, what I continue to do through my life is I work a lot. And I think many of you know from me being on the radio so long, talking about work and all that good stuff, and work a lot. And many of you work all the time as well. And we've got to just have a few hours to just sit back and take a break and refocus our life and really refocus what we want to do and really focus on really that true path instead of what we think everybody else wants us to do or what we think the world wants us to do or what financially we should be doing. We need to really focus on what we really want to do, because I believe that all the good things in life will come if we just allow ourselves to focus on that. And I know it takes clarity of mind. I mean, what I do is I like to work out, because if I'm not working out, there's a lot of stress. I also seem to build up a lot of things in my mind because, you know, my body's not tired. My mind's going a mile a minute. I've also realized that writing things down and focusing on those things are very powerful as well. So there's a lot of things that go into this, a lot of things that we have to focus on to make a reality, and these things are very powerful. You know, what I want to stress right now in a very powerful way is this. You owe it to yourself to figure out exactly what you want to do. You owe it to yourself to give yourself the option to find who you are. And work does not define who we are. Work adds to it. What we do, what we love, adds to us. But our soulful identity is very important. And whatever we can do to feel good and really give back and feel good about that is where we need to be at somehow, some way. And so I ask you to begin to think about that, and also begin to think about what are some of the thoughts that have kept you in a prison type thought process. You know, I work with my clients on the negative broken record and how we hear it and how to begin to hear it and how to be able to tap into it and know what's being said and how to get that out of your mind and how to practice being mindful and how to clear that and then how to add really awesome perspective in. Because many of us are being held back by these thoughts that we've had since we were extremely young. And unfortunately, for the most part, the thoughts are very limiting and self-sabotaging, and they undermine us all the way. And I know one thing, I don't need to be undermined. I don't need to have roadblocks that are created by myself. I need to do what's best for me. And I need to find that. And if I have a bunch of negative thoughts that are resonating inside myself and I'm literally becoming my own roadblock, that's not helpful. That's hurtful. And so I ask you today to begin to start that journal. And I just did a video on YouTube about the power of journaling. And I know people say, oh, I got to write out my feelings. Well, it's a lot more than that. It gets that thought out of your head. Puts it on paper, and it allows you to begin to think more and more and more into the depth of where you actually need to be, and actually creating a silence eventually so that you can really be in the present moment to determine what you need to do. And, you know, it's powerful. And when we know more about ourselves and we allow ourselves to learn more about ourselves, we become more powerful. We become more understanding of who we are. We get out of our own way. And we begin to let life happen. We begin to let those opportunities come into our life that we might not have seen as an opportunity before. And we actually realize that that is an opportunity, no matter how it was labeled previously in our own mindset based on our own past experiences. There's a reason why this show is called the Live Your True Life Perspectives, because it's about finding your true life, living that true life, not other people's lives, not comparing. And also changing our thought processes to accommodate a successful and happy life. I appreciate Alana coming on the show. She's powerful. She's got amazing concepts, ideas, and a way of really helping people to hone in their talent and understand and find who they truly are and leave that metaphoric prison that many of us have lived in. I've lived in it myself, and I understand. And it's time to let go of that and to find our true calling and to live our true life. Live Your True Life Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. I'll be back this time in 3 shakes.